The Dave McGillivray Finish Strong Foundation's goals are to inspire and empower youth across New England and beyond to increase physical activity, expand literacy, and build community and self-esteem through running, reading, and performing acts of kindness. Join us in our mission to empower youth through fitness and education. With your support, we can provide the opportunities for youth to cross their own finish line one step at a time. Together, we can build a stronger, healthier future. Go to DaveMcGillivrayFoundation.org for more information.
Violet Brown driving.
Now, it's time to talk Celtics.
Celtics come roaring out of the gate.
This is the Sports Hub Celtics Show with Gasper and Murray. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Game on lock for sure.
All right, back here, 98.5, the Sports Hub. 98.5, the Sports Hub Celtics Show. Normally Gasper and Murray, but it is Tim McCone and Leroy Irvin in for the guys on this Saturday. And I'll tell you what a day to be filling out on this show. Big win for the Celtics.
Yeah.
Needed this, man. Yeah. Needed this win. Coming off the pandemic and having the season shut down, it was exciting to see the Celtics not only playing a big game and a game that felt like it meant something. I know ultimately it doesn't, right? Like, they're not going to catch the Raptors for the 2 seed. They're going to be the 3 seed. But this was a big measuring stick game for the Celtics. And, man, they came out from the jump and they absolutely dominated that game from start to finish. And it's hard not to be excited if you're a Celtics fan when you see the team play the way that they did.
I'm not sure. Please forgive me if I'm wrong, but I believe Toronto had just, 16 points, I think, at the end of the first quarter? Something crazy. Regardless, first, second, third quarter, to see them hold Toronto in check like that, I mean, yeah, put a smile on my face. But again, we just got to see this happen more often.
It's the consistency that's going to be a key. But I think you saw the strength of the Celtics last night, which was just that starting five, man. And if it's all working, they're going to be really, really hard to beat. There aren't a lot of teams in the NBA that can match up with a Tatum, Jaylen Brown, Gordon Hayward, those interchangeable wings that, you know, you made a great point. It's not just what Jaylen Brown does offensively, but defensively. What Smart brings to the team too. Like, look, the ceiling's really high for the Boston Celtics.
Really,
and you know, if they figure this out, they're going to be a really, really tough out in the Eastern Conference.
Right, and it also tells me, if you play any type of sports, you know that communication is key, especially on defense. And the way they performed last night, and you can hear it, luckily, because, you know, not luckily, because I do wish I was in the stands, but because there aren't fans in the stands, you can hear somewhat of the communication.
Yep.
You can see more. And that, I think, is underestimated because a lot of people just don't like to communicate, period.
Yeah.
Even in sports, period. Don't tell me what to do. Don't tell me if I'm in the wrong spot. But seeing the Celtics do that, that's very encouraging when it comes to getting towards the NBA Finals, hopefully.
617-779-0985. Want to get your thoughts on just this win, not only last night over the Raptors, but kind of the ceiling for this team. I'll be honest, unbelievably impressed with Jaylen Brown and just the consistency.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you go back to last year, and look, the whole thing was a dumpster fire. Expectations were so high. You know, you come off that unbelievable playoff run with no Kyrie Irving and Gordon Hayward, and you're adding to it. So you think that, you know, they have a real shot at the finals last year, and it just never clicked, right?
Right.
I'm not exactly going on a limb, but that team just didn't work.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, he was off to a horrible start last year. But really, for the second half of that season and then into this year, he's been unbelievably consistent. His offensive game has continued to improve. I can't get over the player that he's turned into, and to have him as a building block is a huge asset for the Celtics. And, you know, give Ange credit too, because you go through this rebuild and it's not just he fleeced the Nets with all those picks, right?
Right.
And the Kevin Garnett, Paul Pierce trade. But look, not only do you have those picks, but you got to hit on them too, right?
Yep.
Like, you can't take Thabeat second if you want to rebuild this team. You need to actually take players. And Jaylen Brown was not a slam dunk pick at three. Like, he got a lot of crap for taking him third, and it's worked out, and Brown has turned into a guy that you can look at and, yeah, you can build around.
Yeah, and you know what, for Jaylen Brown, I think it's because he came from a small school.
Yeah.
I can't remember the school. That's how small it is.
Cal.
Yes,
yeah.
Small school, you know, people
Pac-12,
probably just,
like on the East Coast, you just don't watch those
games.
Yeah,
you just don't watch. But he's you know, this guy, I think ever since the conversation of him being skipped on for the All-Star game, within him, it's just like his confidence is already there, but it just went to the next level, the same way it did with Jason Tatum when we found out he was an All-Star.
Yeah.
It just, something clicked, took off, and they're just off and running.
617-779-0985. When you've seen what Kemba's given you since this, the restart of the season, just your thoughts on Kemba and what he's bringing to the table for the Celtics right now.
I love the leadership. Mm-hmm. It kind of goes with what you were saying with Kyrie. If Kyrie was in this situation where he's had restricted minutes, he has to sit back a little bit. I think it might have been a Miami game and they showed Kemba on the bench and he had already reached his minutes and his legs jumping. You know, he just wants to get back in. You didn't get that with Kyrie. And I think you got to give Kemba a lot of credit for showing that regardless of if he's in or not, he's showing support towards his teammates. He's pointing things out. He's helping to lead from the sideline, and that's a beautiful thing.
I don't think you can stress enough the difference between Kemba Walker and Kyrie Irving from a leadership perspective, right? And not just a leadership perspective, but a willingness to allow Tatum and Brown to grow, right? And it seemed like Kyrie, from the moment he said, I'll be back if you have me
don't
back,
remind me.
Right? From that moment on, it just seemed like he was never happy, right? Yeah, and I'll go back to that Orlando game when he's frustrated with Gordon Hayward and he's talking about the veterans and you need all this stuff. And just it never seemed like he was just frustrated with the young guys. Yeah. And it just seems like Kemba instead is facilitating them to grow and turn into these players. And if you're going to reach that ceiling that we're talking about, whether it's the Eastern Conference Finals or a finals run, you need those guys to grow. And Kemba, to your point, from a leadership perspective, is doing that. And not only that, he's really, really good. Right. And, you know, I was nervous because, look, they've been off for, what, 3-4 months. And to still come back with a minutes restriction made me a little nervous because you would think that the knee would be a full go. He's played really, really well.
Really well.
He's looked really, really good. And, you know, they continue to bump it up. And if he's healthy in the postseason, now all of a sudden you've got multiple guys here where at the end of the game you're going to feel confident that, you know what, if they have the ball in their hands, they can kind of make that shot. Tatum, obviously, is one of those guys. Kemba was that guy for the Hornets. But now that he's also a secondary option, too, it's not just, you know, teams focus on him necessarily. And you've got Jaylen Brown, and let's not forget Gordon Hayward was that guy for Utah for a bunch of years. So you've got a bunch of options here, which to your point in the first hour, man, just the depth of the starting five is really exciting.
The theme that the Celtics have is sacrifice, willingness to sacrifice. And again, beyond sports, you could just think about in your everyday life, many people are not willing to do that. So as a team to see them – Gordon Hayward, like you said, all-star, he's sacrificing. Kemba, he's sacrificing from game to game. Last night, each one of them sacrificed. They didn't get to put up the numbers that they usually do, but for the sake of the team, they're doing it, and it's great.
617-779-0985 is the telephone number. It's Tim McCone, Leroy Irvin in for Gasper and Murray on this Saturday. We'll get back to the phones, and we will talk to one of my favorite callers. Throwback to Celtics at 7 here, B-Rob. Is this Elliot in Boston? Elliot, what's up?
Tim McCone, the most beautiful voice on the 95.4.
See, now you know why I went to him right away. Yeah. What's going on, Elliot? How you doing?
So, listen, you know, I'm obviously excited that basketball is back. I think this team has a realistic opportunity to be one of the Final Four teams. But I think this team is going to do that depending on how well Gordon Hayward plays. I mean, we know the ascension that Jason Tatum is on. You know, it's been great to see Jaylen Brown take multiple leaps now. Anything you get from Kemba, you know, given his health, is going to be great. But Gordon Hayward needs to play like one of the highest paid players in the league that he is. And I think we've given him a pass for far too long. He broke his leg a few years ago. I get it. He's had to figure out his role on the team. I get it. But at the same time, Gordon Hayward is the glue that can realistically do everything that each one of those three players can do. He can score. He can pass. He can play defense. If he can do all three of those things consistently to complement Tatum, Brown, and Kemba, I think realistically we have a chance to go to the finals, but it's on his shoulders, and I think we need to hold him accountable to that.
Can I just ask you something? What does complementing the rest of the team for Gordon Hayward look like to you?
So realistically, I've never sweated the bench this year because I think you have four players who can each average over 20 points a game if you need
right.
to. So Gordon Hayward has to be the guy that does whatever the guy that's on the bench does well. So if Tatum's taking a breather, he needs to score. If Kemba's on the bench, he needs to facilitate. If Brown is on the bench, he needs to play defense. He can do all those three things well. That's why he was an all-star. That's why he got a max contract. We forget that he signed a max deal. So for me, Gordon Hayward has to step up, you know, in a complimentary role, but in a role that fits, you know, what he's getting paid to do, which is be a max level type guy.
All right. Thanks for the call, Elliot. Appreciate it. Just your thoughts on that.
I think he does that already. And I think the problem is that the numbers, the stats don't show it. And what I mean by that, like, we'll expect, oh, well, why doesn't he have 20 points? Why didn't he have, you know, 11 rebounds? Why didn't he have 8 assists? But again, it goes back to the whole sacrifice. His minutes are going to be down. He's not going to get the minutes like he used to in Utah. But when he gets on the floor, the man puts in work. That's all I've seen. And it doesn't always translate to the stats. It's defense sometimes. It's making the right rotation. Like, all types of stuff. For some reason, Gordon Hayward, and maybe it is because of the max contract, he's held to a higher standard than I think he deserves.
617-779-0985 is the telephone number. I want to get to that on the other side, because when you talk about the Celtics and kind of the expectations for this postseason run, mm-hmm. I do think Gordon Hayward is kind of that X factor. So I want to talk about that on the other side. I'll also say this about Celtics at 7. Elliot was a loyal Colorado Celtics at 7 every morning at the 7 a.m. shows back at the old studio. Fun fact about that. Really, the only show that's ever been canceled at 98.5 was Celtics at 7, and that happened abruptly after I started filling in for Kaufman when he was out a few weeks. So I don't know how many shows you got left on 98.5 after that happened. So
what did he call you? He said,
the most beautiful voice in radio.
Why don't you have it on the shirt?
I repeated that pretty quickly. We need that as a drop, too.
Need it as a shirt, too.
Yeah, I like that. All right, it's Tim McCone, Leroy Irvin, in for Gaspar and Murray on this Saturday morning. 617-779-0985. Talking Celtics with you. We'll get to some of your phone calls and Gordon Hayward being the X factor for this team coming up next after this.
This is the Sports Hub Celtics Show. This is Jaylen Brown and home of the Boston Celtics basketball. 98.5, the Sports Hub. It's an hour dedicated to your Celtics. Chris Gasper, Jim Murray, the Sports Hub Celtics Show on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Down the right side, kick to the corner. Ojeley up, fakes the three.
No.
Step to his left and hits a three on the move.
That's why I was saying, nah, not on the move, Ojeley. Normally he's a standstill jump shooter. This time a couple of dribbles.
All right, back here, 98.5, the Sports Hub. What a win for the Boston Celtics. Last night over the Toronto Raptors, probably the hottest team in the bubble, right, B-Rob? At the time, going into that game, you would think that that was kind of the team that, you know, I looked at and was like, man, mm-hmm. I don't necessarily know if they have, obviously they don't have Kawhi anymore, but they're playing really well and they're really well coached, and the Celtics just blowing them out last night. That was an impressive thing to watch.
Beautiful.
We talked, my favorite caller for 98.5, the Sports Hub, Elliot in Boston, called last segment, and he talked about, you know, Gordon Hayward needing to step up, and I just want to get your thoughts on that and just where you have Hayward right now in terms of the Celtics and kind of your expectations, and do you want to see more out of him?
I think he's given us all that he's got, and I'm okay with that. It's a situation where the team is very talented. We've already established that. We know that. And Gordon Hayward has to pick and choose his spots to do things that make us excited. You look at last night's game, I believe he might have been on the floor. He might have played, 30-something minutes? I think only Jaylen Brown played more. You got to ask yourself, well, why is that? Why would Brad Stevens want to keep him on the floor more than a majority of the team? He's doing a lot more. Because we don't see it showing up in the stats, we all trip out. Going to Hayward's fine with me.
Yeah, 31 minutes. Second in the team in minutes, only to Jaylen Brown, who had 32. So they essentially played the most minutes on the team last night. Only took seven shot attempts yesterday. So, you know, to your point, you know, I don't necessarily think they're asking him to be, you know, the Utah Gordon Hayward. And B-Rob, I would love to get your thoughts on this too, because I just look at it and, you know, expectations coming in when he signs that deal was, I think it was going to be Kyrie, Gordon Hayward, Al Horford, and these young guys and Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum kind of have to find out their roles. Well, then all of a sudden, you know, he goes down with a broken ankle, you know, and Kyrie gets hurt in that first year. And then those young guys start to blossom. And now all of a sudden it's him coming back with guys that have established roles. And now you kind of have to figure out how to fit. And it's not the other way around. And I think, you know, he's doing his best in terms of trying to make that work. I don't think they're asking him to do some of the elite things he did in Utah. And look, as long as he's playing aggressive and going to the basket, and I mentioned this play last night too, but it was early in the fourth quarter when he attacked the basket, gets the and one on the play that Serge Ibaka got hurt. Like, just that aggressiveness and seeing him being able to go to the basket like that is a positive thing. And I think that's kind of him learning how to play, you know, and not being necessarily the guy, but fitting in. And I think he is going to be the X factor for the Celtics. If he's playing aggressively and is giving you solid minutes, I think that's a huge win. B-Rob, just your thoughts on Hayward and kind of his fit with this team?
Yeah, I think it's a situation where they don't need him taking shots when Brown and Tatum and Kemba have it going like this.
Yeah.
And so for him to kind of adjust to his role, he's doing other things for them. He's leading the team in rebounding in Orlando. I think he's second in assists. And so his ability to kind of play whatever role they need him to play based on the matchup that night, that's a huge weapon. And just talking to C's people behind the scenes, you know, they're still adamant just about, you know, if they ask you, where would you guys put Hayward's in terms of his importance in the power ranking hierarchy on this team? Like two, three, four? Like, talking to people behind the scenes, they think he's like a strong three in that front.
Do they really?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, I kind of agree with them. Like, if you're going to make a deep run here, in the postseason, Hayward has to be giving you something, right? And maybe it's not 20 points a night, but just playing aggressively, playing good defense, being active, and being involved.
I think another part that we probably won't find out about, but is just the leadership role behind the scenes too. We don't know. I don't get the impression he's that type of guy who's very vocal and very like, but you never know. You just never know.
No, I'm with you on that. I don't necessarily think he's one of the vocal guys. I got to be honest. I don't think there were a lot of leaders on this team last year in general.
Yeah.
Like, I just don't. I think that was something that the Celtics severely lacked. I think Kemba has kind of stabilized that a little bit, and these young guys have continued to mature. But I think, like, you know, look, Tatum in his second year, Jaylen Brown in his third year weren't necessarily going to be leaders last year. I think now all of a sudden you've got a better mix in that locker room, and you're seeing better results. B-Rob, you would know better than me, but like from a leadership perspective, you know, is Hayward giving you a lot there, or is that not really a strength?
I don't think that's his strength, but that's kind of his whole career. Like, he does his leadership like with his play on the floor, I feel like, more than anything else, and again, adapting to these different roles. But I don't know, you guys don't miss like Marcus Morris saying he isn't having any fun, you know, after a blowout loss, or Terry Rozier pushing for more minutes. Yeah, like from a chemistry standpoint, I mean, we've kind of seen this from day one this year, but everyone knows their role. Everyone's, you know, happy for each other, and they're not, you know, searching for their own shots and giving them up, you know, searching them over the betterment of the team. And that's a huge thing, and that's going to potentially be the difference in the playoffs for in one of these series.
Again, how, for both of you guys, just your thoughts on, you know, your expectations going into the postseason. Now, we talked about the ceilings, but for you, what's a successful year for this Celtics team? You know, because I feel like you kind of have to readjust at times. I know it's just one game, but when you see how dominant they were against one of the better teams in the Eastern Conference, like, that just kind of shows the potential that this team has. So if you're just from a Celtics fan perspective, you know, what's kind of a year where you're going, yeah, all right, they did what, you know, I expected, and I'm happy with that.
Okay. What I expect is for them to play like they did last night. And if that's the case, then the NBA Finals is where they need to be. If they can't get there, if they don't get there, it's a disappointment. Period.
Ouch.
NBA Finals. Yeah, if last night they showed they could do that and they can do it well. And I know when they played against the Nets, I know the Nets were, you know, they didn't have everybody, but still, that's an NBA team with NBA talent, and you put up 149 points. You can get it done. Give me that. Get to the NBA Finals. I'm not saying they should win it. It might be a little bit tough, but NBA Finals, and if you don't get there, it's been a disappointment.
Saying that the Nets were NBA talent was one of the nicest things anyone said on the station.
Those Long Island Nets look good.
That team sucks.
They suck, but they're still like 149 points on
I'll
a team.
I'll tell you what, man.
That's a little bit. That's crazy.
Yeah. I don't. They are not good. They are not good.
Here's my hot take for you guys.
Let's hear it.
I think it's going to be harder to get to the finals than win the finals if you get there.
Really?
Yeah. I think the Bucks are still the best team in the league right now. I think
those two LA teams.
Have you seen the Lakers in the bubble so far?
Fair.
I know, but
not so hot.
But the Celts struggle with bigs, and they got some bigs over there that Lakers do that will give them some headaches.
It's a good point. Yeah, Anthony Davis. You don't have an answer for him there.
Nope.
But they've played the Lakers really good this year. They've played the Clippers really good this year in those two matchups. And you throw everything at LeBron and Anthony Davis, and I don't know. I'm not afraid of J.R. Smith or Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. And, you know, they're going to miss Avery Bradley a lot, too. So, I definitely am a lot more scared of the Clippers than the Lakers.
Oh, yeah,
but,
definitely.
It's just, I don't expect, if the Lakers aren't turning it on right now, I'm not sure if they're going to be able to make it through themselves.
It is one of the interesting things when you talk about the Lakers, right? Because, obviously, they're built around LeBron and Anthony Davis. But, like, that Avery Bradley loss and just their ability to guard guards is going to be interesting. And when you've got Kemba Walker, and look, there maybe are some matchups there that you can take away. Both of those LA teams still terrify me, though. For me, I think you got to make it to the Eastern Conference Finals. And I think one of the reasons why is because one of the matchups in the Eastern Conference that I kind of circled and was like, I don't know about that, might not be as bad as I initially thought. Because this Ben Simmons injury for the Sixers, and look, I know the Sixers have been a complete dumpster fire. Make the Celtics last year look like they were a really, you know, well-put-together team and an oiled machine. But without Simmons, and if he's out for a substantial amount of time, even with that size and even with Embiid, I think they're in a lot of trouble. And so, you know, for me, I think it's kind of opened up here a little bit. And I don't know how you look at that game last night against the Raptors and really how they played against the Raptors all year long and look at it and say, you know, the Celtics, you wouldn't favor the Celtics in a series. Look, I know the Raptors have looked good. I know they might have the best coach in the NBA, Nick Nurse, but man, I just like that matchup for the Celts.
Okay, well, yeah, no, I agree with you too. Sixers without Simmons, you might as well just throw them out. And he's supposed to be out for what, like 2-3 months, something like that.
Yeah,
it's not clear yet. They're gonna release his treatment plan. I think like if he has to have surgery, he's gonna be out for that long. But who knows? Maybe they're gonna try to just do physical therapy with it and stuff, and hope that he can be back in the playoffs. But either way, he's going to miss a week or two, and getting thrown into the fire of a postseason after an injury like that is not going to be easy for him.
See, I keep shaking my head because I don't want to overreact from last night, as great as it was. And this has to do with, you know, me making my decision on whether they can beat the Sixers or the Bucks. I'm going to wait. I'm going to watch them go against Orlando. I'm going to watch a few more games and just see if there's any major changes from game to game as far as attitude and as far as execution. And then I can be able to make a better decision. But again, I will go back to it. If they play like they did last night, Sixers aren't a problem. Bucks will be. It'll be tight, but I think they can get through. And then it's just NBA Finals or bust. That's it.
617-779-0985. Where do you have the Celtics? You're right in that it's probably smart not to rely on one game. Yes. I am the complete opposite.
Don't do it.
I'm the complete opposite. Again, it's Tim McCullen, Leroy Irvin in for Gasper and Murray on this Saturday. Get to some of your phone calls and keep the Celtics conversation rolling on the other.
Chris Gasper, Jim Murray, the Sports Hub Celtics Show on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Jaylen Brown whips a bounce pass, skims it across the pond, ahead of Gordon Hayward, who scores off the window. What a pass from Jaylen Brown. We've never seen that before.
Ooh, that was a skimmer, man. That was a great pickup.
Just a lot of great things in that game overall for the Boston Celtics last night. It's Tim McCullen, Leroy Irvin in for Gasper Murray, 98.5, the Sports Hub Celtics Show. Huge win over the Raptors last night. And we were just talking off the air a little bit, but that, you know, it got to the point, and you certainly didn't think this going into the game, but you're like, you know what, Kemba Walker, Gordon Hayward, who I've seen go down with a bunch of freak injuries, maybe don't. Yeah, maybe take him out. Right. You know, maybe it's time to let those guys sit a little bit. When it comes to rest moving forward, you know, I know they're technically in it for the two seed. They're not going to wind up getting the two seed. Do you rest some of these guys here, or do you try to build on that performance from last night and try to go in red hot in this postseason?
See, when I was young, I used to get scared of stuff like this. Take him out, rest. Now, I did say that about Kemba last night because the game was out of hand. No. Play until the wheels fall off. You can't be worried about injuries, nothing like that. Play them. We saw what happens when you lose the rhythm. Remember Jason Tatum against the Bucks?
Yep.
Terrible.
Yeah.
That's rhythm. Then he caught back on. I also believe that you guys had 4 months off.
Yeah.
You had enough rest.
I think that's an awesome point. I really do. When you talk about load management, which is kind of the thing around the NBA for the last few years, I think that kind of goes out the window, to your point, when you have 4 months off, right? And maybe Kemba's an exception because he's got the knee, but not only are Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum younger guys, but I think it's more important to get those guys playing really well, and Tatum needed to knock off that rust. And I think just if you're playing this well and you've got, you know, a handful of games left down there, I'm with you, man. I go pedal to the metal, ride into the postseason and just try to play my best basketball heading into that first-round matchup. B-Rob, just your thoughts overall on that?
I'm disagreeing with you guys.
Really?
Last 2 years. Last year, Marcus Smart, game 81, you know, he had that abdominal thing against the Magic. He was out most of that, you know, was out the entire first round against the Pacers and then came back against the Bucks. It wasn't himself.
Yeah, fair.
2 years ago, he also was injured. So maybe this is just a Marcus Smart thing. I think maybe you put Marcus Smart in bubble wrap because, but this whole team this year has been snake bitten with injuries. And now you finally have everyone healthy and Kemba trending in the right direction. So, yeah, maybe, you know, you don't rest them for three games here in a row, obviously, but I'm not playing these guys more than 20 minutes in these games. I'm playing them the first half, let them get their rhythm, get them off the floor, and then fit them out the last game entirely because it's just not worth it. You've worked all year long to get everyone healthy, and you don't have a shot if everyone's not there. And given guys' track records, I just don't think it's worth it.
It's interesting because I guess you're right. When you look at Smart's history, you look at Hayward's history, and obviously Kemba with the knee, those are three guys that you do kind of worry about. But, man, overall, like, I just – when you have that much time off, and I know that doesn't matter necessarily with some of the freak injuries that we've seen these guys get, but like, if I just want to make sure that I'm playing my best possible basketball heading into the postseason.
Just tell Smart not to try. Like, hey, no diving. You get fined if you dive on the floor.
Charge.
No charges allowed.
Yeah, he's just not going to do it. And I'm a big Smart guy in terms of I do think he brings stuff to the table. I know Adam Jones is rolling his eyes right now if he's listening to this because he doesn't believe in it. But I do think there's an X factor with Marcus Smart.
Absolutely.
Gives you that edge that you kind of need in the postseason, right? You need a guy that you look at and you're like, that guy's going to have our back no matter what happens. I think that's kind of a dynamic, too, when – you know, I spent all morning talking about the three wings and kind of, you know, that's kind of a dynamic that not a lot of other teams have. Not a lot of guys have a Marcus Smart type too, right? And I think he does have the potential to not only flip a game but flip a series, just the mentality of this team. You've heard Tatum say that he's unquestionably on the court our leader in that. So, yeah, I think it's important that he's playing well too.
He's a dog.
Yeah.
Every team would love to have a dog on their team. Man, please, keep that man on the court. Like, again, it's like, what's the point of these, what is it, eight games or whatever? It's to get in, you know, rhythm. And, again, we have to consider the pandemic, COVID-19. These are just different times, different situations. Months off, I say play, play, play. Now, if you're blowing a team out, yeah, okay, make some adjustments. But until then, play. You got to get yourselves ready for the playoffs.
617-779-0985. Let's sneak in a couple calls here before the next break. Let's go talk to Greg in Lincoln. Greg, what's up?
Hey, great show, guys. One of the things I'm keeping an eye on is the eighth seed out west. You know, a lot of teams racing for that final spot. The Grizzlies currently control it with some implications for the Celtics right now. If the Grizzlies fall out of the playoff race, the Celtics will get their pick unless they land it in the top four. That'll be protected. And it's really close right now. I mean, I like the Grizzlies' chances, but Portland's coming in hot, and so is the Spurs. And, you know, this still fat Zion. So some things to consider.
Thanks for the call, Greg. Appreciate it. look, this has been one of my pet peeves over the last couple of years because I'm a huge draft nerd. It's like, honestly, it's probably my favorite thing on the sports calendar. It's pathetic. I love it because I'm a huge college basketball guy. And Ainge, when he made that trade originally with Philly to get that Kings pick last year, so he drops down from 1 to 3, doesn't take Fultz and takes Tatum, slam dunk, and you get the Kings pick, which I was nervous was going to be number one overall. And for some ridiculous reason, the Kings have a ridiculous year last year, and you wind up with 14, which I didn't think was going to happen in a million years. So you go from what you thought was going to be, what, B-Rob? I mean, definitely a top 10 pick.
Internally they thought top 10.
I was really nervous that it was going to be the first pick and you weren't going to get it. Like, that was my concern going into last year. And, you know, Fox and Buddy Hield, and they just, I don't know, they, for the Kings, hit lightning in a bottle, and they played really well. And then this Memphis pick, which is going to be unprotected, what, after this year it would be unprotected?
Yes.
And they wind up with Ja Morant, who's ridiculous, and Jaren Jackson they had a home run with, but now Jackson's hurt, and yeah, maybe you wind up with it. But both of those picks I honestly thought were going to be top five picks, and you were going to continue to roll out this, just continue to churn out top five picks with Brown and Tatum, and just continue to build on it. And it hasn't happened, which for, again, a draft nerd like me has been really disappointing.
See, for me, I'm like, whatever. I don't care.
Really?
It's all a gamble. Oh. Let the chips fall where they may, and then you just deal with it then. Like, right now, I don't understand how people could even – like, I'll pay attention to what's going on as far as that and the whole possible draft picks, but I don't care. I just want to get to the playoffs. Let's get it going. We're in the middle of the season. Let's deal with that first.
So I'm the type of guy that would just simulate all the games in like Madden to play like the off season and sign. Like,
no.
I loved it.
No.
I loved it. And let me just say, like, look, if it worked out, Ja Morant could technically be on the Celtics right now if the Kings were the team that I thought they were going to be, right? Like, if they got the number two pick last year, now you got Ja Morant instead of there's a lot of what ifs there. I was incredibly frustrated with that Kings pick. This Memphis pick's kind of turned out the same way because I have to believe, B-Rob, that it's a similar situation in Boston where they thought that pick was going to be a lot better than what it's probably going to be this year too, just like that Kings pick.
No question. That's why they had the protections less and less every year because they thought that the Grizzlies were going to be – they predicted perfectly what the Grizzlies were going to look like with Gasol and Conley heading out the door. But they didn't count on Jaren Jackson and Ja Morant being literally the two best guys in their classes or close to it.
It's a great foundation for the Grizzlies moving forward. I don't know if you could ask for much more than those two guys. But it's crazy because, like you said, it seemed like they kind of timed it out, like the Nets, where like KG, Pierce, Deron Williams, just fell apart and it worked out perfectly. And I thought it was going to be like that for those two picks, and it wasn't, man.
Time out. I just got a quick question.
Go for it.
Did you say that you simulate through a Madden season to get to making transactions?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
I like doing the draft. I like drafting. I'm a scout.
We're totally different. I will play a season and just want to. I'll play one season so I don't have to deal with the offseason.
I love the offseasons. I'm a huge draft nerd too. I go like this is. I probably shouldn't admit this on the air. This is embarrassing, but I do my own like NBA draft board. So I've got like Word documents probably from like 2008.
Okay.
Of how I would draft.
Let's bring those up. I want to know what's evaluate those.
We definitely should because I got to be honest. I'm not bad. Royce White, swing and a miss. You know what I mean? That probably wasn't great. I also would have taken Drummond over Anthony Davis, which is probably a swing and a miss there too. But big UConn guy, so maybe that was a bit of a bias. But, yeah, I love it. And I wish it worked out because, man, those two Celtics picks, if those had worked out, would have been – it's just fun to have guys like Tatum and Brown on your team.
Right.
Watch these like prospects develop. Yep. You know what I mean? And – It didn't happen.
And especially now, since the Celtics are going to be capped out till further notice, when you have Tatum,
it kind of is what it
deal,
is at
Brown,
a certain point, right? Yeah.
So then this is the only way you can really bring, you know, youth, good talent into your team because you're only at the mid-level exception for the free agent market. You can't get much of that. But if you have these high picks that you can integrate the next young stud into your rotation, then this is, you know, that's how the Spurs built dynasties. That's how the Warriors did it. And I mean, the Celtics, you got to hopefully hit in some of these mid-range first-round picks, but if they had panned down to top five guys, then they could have been playing of gold.
Well, and the problem is, too, is it's so hard, man. It's not the NFL draft. You look at the NBA draft, and you're just like, what? I mean, there's a handful of guys that even wind up being rotational players. And so, yeah, like a lot of times when you're talking mid to late, even like late lottery through the draft – it's lottery tickets,
yep.
right? Like, there's a handful of guys that wind up being rotationally. It's not the NFL where, like, a late first-round pick. No, like, a lot of times you're going to wind up with J.R. Giddens, you know, and that's not going to be anything. And so, yeah, it's nice to have those upper echelon picks in the NBA.
Who do you guys think makes it out west in that 8 seed? There's the Grizzlies, obviously. The Blazers are right there. Spurs. And the Suns haven't lost in Orlando yet.
Booker.
They're making a Cinderella
Booker
run, too.
Looks, Booker looks unbelievable. I like the Blazers. The two bigs back, Nurkic and Collins back. They're kind of a different team, and I love that backcourt.
That's what I'm hoping for. Dame Dollar. That's who I want to see the Blazers get there.
617-779-0985. It's Tim McCone, Leroy Irvin in for the 98.5, the Sports Hub Celtics show. We got one segment left, then we'll switch back to some Patriots talk, too. We'll also check on the ex, Tom Brady.
Oh,
right.
Scared me for a second. Like, what you know about
Wait,
me? That
what?
I didn't tell you anything.
617-779-0985. It's Tim McCone, Leroy Irvin in on this Saturday.
It's an hour dedicated to your Celtics. Chris Gasper, Jim Murray. The Sports Hub Celtic Building for another banner.
Round for three. Got it.
The Sports Hub Celtic Show on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Van Vliet stumbles along the baseline, throws out the pal, try to fancy dribble, lost it. Marcus Smart dives to the floor, comes up with it and gets it away to Wanamaker. Wanamaker goes the distance and scores, and Marcus Smart doing Marcus Smart things, up 24, down 24, in a bubble or on the moon.
Man, what a great play that was. Get to the floor, burning those knees a little bit.
There you go, Marcus Smart doing Marcus Smart things in a impressive win for the Boston Celtics last night. It's 98.5, the Sports Hub Celtics show. Tim McCone, Leroy Irvin in for Gasper and Murray today. And just wrapping up the Celtics thoughts off of what was, man, perfect day to fill in for this Celtics show. I got to be honest. I don't know how they did it during the pandemic.
Right.
Because after a few weeks,
during the pandemic.
All right, there you go. That helps. Because there's really not a lot to talk about. And, you know, the first couple games back, I don't want to say disappointing, but I was a little nervous about, you know, the scrimmages and Tatum not really being there, and especially that first game against Milwaukee. Tatum didn't look like himself, and he's kind of rounded into form. And now the Celtics, I mean, I don't know how you're not really, really impressed with that team after last night.
Yeah, very impressed. You know, things changed once Jason Tatum got that haircut, right?
That's a good point.
Yeah, I mean, you can't forget it. That's how it is, man. I've had this conversation with many people. You know, somebody serious about changing their life when they go and get a haircut or something like that. You know, if it's one day, if it's long and they come in the next day, it's short, something serious went down and they're ready to turn their life over.
Realistically, I probably have like 6 months of hair left and then it's over.
Like, what?
Yeah, it's not great. Not great family genes. Oh. Well, I'll be honest with you. So, yeah, that'll be a life change for me in a negative way. I'm not sure the girls are going to react positively to that.
You'll be all right,
but,
man.
But
stop
we'll see. Thanks. I needed that. That was like Elliot when he called in. Just a nice pick-me-up.
Exactly.
So, yeah. Save that, B-Rob, too. Save that. 617-779-0985. When it comes to the Celtics, you know, like you said, you know, look, the Bucks game, not ideal. The Nets game, and I'm not sure how much you can take away from it, because the Nets, I just don't think we're a real team, but 149, like you said, is 149 points.
Sure is.
And then to beat the Raptors the way that they did last night, man, the Celtics, like, look, if Robert Williams is all of a sudden a player, and man, I have egg on my face because I dismissed him pretty nonchalantly yesterday. I just, like, it's, you're not going to get anything out of him. And then to see the way he responded last night, man, if he is a piece off the bench and those guys are playing like it, yeah, I think the Celtics all of a sudden, you know, coming off of last year and the way that ended, I think you kind of took a step back and looked at the rest of the NBA and thought, hey, you know what, it's harder to build a contender than maybe what we thought. Maybe it's not just talent. But they have talent, and now I think that they're a team, right? And so if that's the case, I think the sky's the limit for the Celtics. I really do, and I think this is going to be a really fun postseason. Last year started out fun, and I thought, you know, maybe we were wrong and maybe this team could flip a switch, and obviously they couldn't. This year, it's nice to see that they're playing well, because now it doesn't seem like they have to flip a switch. It's just, we're playing really well and we're a good unit, and let's see what we can go and do.
I think we also got to keep in mind, I believe this was mentioned during the game last night, not just for the Celtics, but for all the teams, there are no distractions. There's no family. There's no girlfriend. There's no boyfriend. Whatever they got going on, there's none of that going on, and they can literally focus on taking care of their bodies, being prepared for the games, and executing. And so maybe seeing the Celtics play like they did last night, maybe it will become the norm because there are no distractions.
No, I think that's a great point. I also think, honestly, and I would love to get both of your thoughts on this because I've thought about this from, you know, being in the bubble and a chemistry perspective, and I know chemistry is important in the NBA regardless, but I feel like especially so this season because there's no getting away from your team, right? And so if you're a really close team, I think that's a benefit. And if you're the Sixers,
yeah, right.
I think it could probably hurt you, right? Like, I think you could probably look at it and say chemistry is, it's going to negatively impact you because you're around a bunch of guys that you don't like, you don't get along, and it might go off the rails a little sooner than what you otherwise would have anticipated.
Yeah. I mean, absolutely. And I think the Celtics are a team where it seems as though they get along and on and off the court.
Yeah.
And hopefully it will continue. These guys, man, I'm telling you, the sky's the limit. You've already said it, but sky's the limit for them. And I really do believe we could be seeing something special go down this year.
It's good news. Last year's team didn't have to go to the bubble.
I don't think that would have gone well. I don't think the Nets could be worse than they are this year if you brought in Kyrie and Kevin Durant. But you want to talk about two negative dudes they'd have to spend a lot of time with. Not sure how positive that would be either. Not sure that would be the most fun group to be around, a Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant-led team.
And I have to admit, I would be a fraud if I didn't say this. For those that know me, they know that I was a Kyrie fan. I was put, you know, but I was wrong. So I just want to admit that here on 98.5 The Sports Hub, I was wrong. Kyrie was the worst thing that could happen to the Celtics.
Well, I don't think there was anyone that hated that trade. If you go back to it, like, you had to make a decision on Isaiah Thomas, and obviously he was hurt and wasn't going to be the same player.
Right.
The assets you gave up weren't great, and you're bringing in this guy. Were there some red flags looking back at it? Yeah, the fact that Kyrie wasn't talking to his team during the postseason run that year,
great,
when you're one of two teams that could potentially win the championship. Like, it really was the Cavs or the Warriors. Yeah. Those were it. And he decides not to talk to his team. Like, yeah, maybe we should have looked at that a little harder. But it felt like it was perfect that first year. Gordon Hayward breaks his ankle. He still goes 16-2 to start the year. He's playing like an MVP. And so, you know, with those young guys coming back, man, I thought it was going to be it. And to your point, I jumped off the Kyrie bandwagon pretty early last year. I'll say that. Like, it was right around the All-Star break when he starts saying, ask me in July. You know, he doesn't play those last two games. He's openly flirting with Durant at the All-Star game. And it's like, don't worry about it. Well, it's like, I think there's reasons to worry about it. And then he bailed. But like you said, it didn't work out. But Kemba Walker in his place, I think the Celtics, you know, lucked out, and there's positives to take away from last year.
Oh yeah, let's go Celtics.
There you go. 617-779-0985. We're late as it is, so we'll step aside here, get headlines, turn our attention again to the NFL right after Hub Headlines with one of the best in the business to do it.
The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon.
Hi, my name is Mike Palmer, and I'm running as a member of the Adaptive Program for Runners in this year's Boston Marathon. Thanks to the Flutie Foundation, runners like me can achieve their dreams and finish the greatest race in the world.
The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit FlutieFoundation.org to get involved.
The Dave McGilvery Finish Strong Foundation's goals are to inspire and empower youth across New England and beyond to increase physical activity, expand literacy, and build community and self-esteem through running, reading, and performing acts of kindness. Join us in our mission to empower youth through fitness and education. With your support, we can provide the opportunities for youth to cross their own finish line one step at a time. Together, we can build a stronger, healthier future. Go to DaveMcGilveryFoundation.org for more information. Looking for hope? House of Possibilities offers children and adults with disabilities a path to greater independence. From social to recreational programs to overnight respite and career and community access opportunities, House of Possibilities is changing the way people see disabilities and their program participants see themselves. Visit houseofpossibilities.org to learn more or to support their work. That's houseofpossibilities.org. House of Possibilities. See what belonging can do.